From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with D.K. Matthews, author of the cover article in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, The Word Crisis That Threatens to Undo Western Civilization. Well, let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. Matthews in their conversation.
Every theological term, every concept throughout history has been the target of the enemy to subvert it, to redefine it, and therefore weaken the church, and therefore destroy culture and destroy civilization. I mean, imagine the early church if the pastors and theologians said, we're not going to argue over the Yoda in homoousios versus homoousios. It does make a difference whether Christ is like or is one with the Father. And those are abstract Greek speculations, but they shape our daily worship. They shape our Trinitarian worship. They shape our piety. They shape how we pray. They shape how we understand who Jesus is. They shape our spiritual formation activities. And so I guess what I'm trying to argue is, you know, Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, that's partially true. We've been there and done this before with different contexts. It's just now we've reached the level of semantic smuggling and deception and the intentional destruction of words, where we really do have, as you put it so well, we have a verbal pandemic on steroids. So yes, the challenge is great. There's no question about that. But I look to Christian institutions and pastors to put it on a shelf where the average lay person can understand it. And there's no other option, because the people, look at the survey from the Barna data. Look at the survey from the Gallup data. The younger generation of Christians are accepting the redefinition of these terms. Evangelical Christians, I taught students for 20 years, my wife and I together, we probably taught, I don't know how many thousands of students. You have to have conversations with them as to why cohabitation is somehow conflicting with a biblical definition of marriage. They're being influenced by this. Marriage, divorce, many people seeing marriage as serial monogamy, and that's just fine, thank you. They're taking these new definitions. The people in our churches, our children, our grandchildren, they're accepting these new definitions, especially social justice and compassion and inclusion. So somebody's getting in their head. Why in the world we don't want to do that, you know, I don't know, but we better do it.
The cover of the Christian Research Journal says the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization. And of course, the reference here on the cover of the journal is predominantly to your article, which is one of the most important articles, I think, that could possibly be highlighted in the journal and at this particular point in time. And that all leads me to a question, and maybe it's an unfair question, but where do you think we are in the crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization? Are we on the brink of the unraveling of Western civilization? What's your feeling about that?
Yeah, that's the billion-dollar question. There's no question about it, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about that. I address it in Seduced and then in a manuscript that I'm completing right now. Here's my take. And, you know, to quote, was it Walter Kaiser? I'm not a prophet, son of a prophet, and I work for a nonprofit organization, so I want to temper my words here. But we have all these assessments. We have a lot of people that you see the books coming out, avalanching as always, that their interpretation of this is, yes, it's about over. This is the last generation. We're in the last 30 or 40 years. The Lifeway survey of pastors suggests that, you know, 40% of evangelical pastors, they're pretty sure that's about where they are. And I say this very lovingly, but I have a lot of friends and colleagues that their way of interpreting all of this, and kind of a simple way to sort of get out of having to take responsibility, is to say, hey, I'm rapture bound and I'm ready to go. And I don't want to dishonor, you know, that sentiment at all. I just think that what has happened in the church is there have been Platonic or Neoplatonic or Hellenistic influences on our theology that's influenced how we relate to civilization and culture in the world. Carl H. Henry addressed this back in 1947. when he said, "What is our eschatology doing to us? It's really messing up our minds and disengaging us from culture and civilization." And so some people take that approach, but I just think that's a very unbiblical approach. As it's often been said, you know, every generation since the first generation has had strong advocates claiming that it was the last generation, and we have been wrong over and over and over and over again, and we've used questionable interpretations of Scripture to make that case. You also have like Rod Dreher, who's making the argument, yeah, the Dark Ages are here, and there's probably not a whole lot we can do about it. We might want to fight for religious freedom, because that's a good thing and allows the churches to flourish, but we're probably going to head into a new Dark Ages, and so the way forward is the Benedict option. And the Benedict option is we accept the fact that there may be a Dark Age of a few centuries, and we encourage those neo-monastic types of virtues and kind of survive the storm. And then just like the Benedictine monks, we create culture and virtues during that time period. And three centuries down the road, we help to shape the emerging civilization, you know, after the darkness. Here's my read, Hank. Europe is not America. That's a critical assumption of my argument. Europe is not America. They are farther down the road. They are less I was just over there not too long ago. They are less influenced by the Judeo-Christian values. They had a different model of church-state relationships. Ours was very voluntarist, which helped, I think, the faith and the churches to thrive in the American context. It was a different type of religious culture. And with all of the problems that we are having in our culture and civilization, there are still an incredible number of redeeming characteristics and groups and churches and individuals who still can make a difference. But I don't think we solve the problem by strategic or tactical withdrawal from the culture. I'm not sure that's the right way forward. Yes, create culture for three centuries down the road, because who knows what's going to happen. There could be a Dark Ages. We're not in charge in history. Things change rather quickly. But my suggestion is we have many, many opportunities currently. We still can vote. We still can use our vast resources, which unfortunately we too often use on ourselves, to shape the future, to impact culture, to impact organizations, to impact politicians. And I think, you know, we don't want to give up on our civilization before God does. And I think we have an awful lot of opportunities to make a difference, which takes me back to the thesis of the article and the thesis of the book. We do start in the church by immersing in ourselves with fully understanding what the Word of God teaches us and what the biblical words are and how they compare to what's going on in culture. You know, the old analogy that Millard Erickson, the theologian, used, the individuals trying to find counterfeit dollars, they started the training by people understanding every detail of the authentic, every detail of the original. And so you immerse yourself in Scripture. You understand Scripture. You know what Scripture teaches about justice. You know what Scripture teaches about love. You know what Scripture teaches about the coming kingdom. You know what Scripture teaches about every tribe, tongue, and nation. That becomes your framework. And then when you hear these dissonant interpretations of justice and love and compassion and inclusion and marriage, your ears perk up. Your antenna goes up and you go, hey, something's not quite right here. I hear you. I'm appalled at the abuse of power, and I'm appalled at racism, but there's a better way forward, and that's the way forward of King Jesus. My dad was a basketball coach, and almost all the players in this 5A school, huge school, the players were black. Those guys raised me. They were my best buddies. They were like second dads and brothers and everything else. And that's how I defined reality. And then I remember, like, in my first year of high school, I heard a couple of buddies making these racist comments. And I didn't quite get it. You know, you always want to be cool and you want to get along with your friends. But my antenna went up and I'm like, no, that's not right. You know, I know these guys. You don't understand where they're coming from. You don't understand their history. You don't understand their experience. And you don't understand how full of love they can be. And the racism just jumped out at me. And I think similarly, when we really are immersed in Scripture and the words of Scripture, when we see nationalism being used for an agenda, or we see multiculturalism or inclusion, we can come back immediately with a biblical understanding. Inclusion, tolerance, come on, how about agape love? Wow, is that powerful? Doesn't that make a difference? Doesn't that rule out injustice? Doesn't that include neighbor love and loving our neighbor as ourselves? Doesn't that include loving others just as Christ loved us and died for us? I think that's a better framework.
I love your passion, by the way. Give me a man with an ounce of passion and you can upend the world. Just to be clear, though, let me say that I wasn't talking about the end of the world. I was talking about Western civilization. And the reason I want to qualify that is I remember coming back from Southeast Asia on a particular trip, and I was in a conference with Chuck Colson, and Chuck was listening to me go on and on about God's move in Southeast Asia. And he pulled me aside and he said to me, you know, Hank, I am so excited about your excitement about what's going on in Southeast Asia, but we can't lose Western civilization. And that's really the question that I was driving at, the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization. That doesn't mean the end of the world, but what Colson was saying is we can't lose 2,000 years of Western civilization because Western civilization has a dramatic impact on the rest of the world.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. D.K. Matthews. Today, Christians are caught in the crosshairs of a virulent linguistic pandemic, a crisis in which words are now organically and systemically redefined. Post-truth critics, including candidates for the highest office in the land, routinely castigate those who stand in opposition to their redefinition of words. They are labeled intolerant, hateful, ignorant, and an imminent and existential threat to the noble quest for a progressive future. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, D.K. Matthews shows how redefining words and worldviews threatens to undo Western civilization. But there is a way forward. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers for our own time. His reliance on the church's apostolic canon, creed, and clergy shows us a way beyond the interpretive anarchy of today's individualist approach to Christianity. Other topics include the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, faithful living through COVID-19, winning the fight for religious freedom, the beauty of worship, aesthetics, and truth, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, atheism and the burden of proof, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. D.K. Matthews in their conversation.
What Colson was saying is we can't lose 2,000 years of Western civilization, because Western civilization has a dramatic impact on the rest of the world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely, touche. And I think we're totally on the same trajectory there. The reason that I referenced kind of the last generationism is that that is how a lot of people interpret the fragmentation and the decay of Western civilization,
yes.
That it is proof that the world is going to end, but no worries, because we're out of here. And so they solve all of these complex sociological, political, cultural, semantic problems by simply adopting a posture of, you know, kind of waiting for the end.
Escapism.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's within that context that, you know, like Rod Dreher, he really is talking about Western civilization and how Western civilization could go into a dark ages. I mean, the reality is Western civilization could go down, and I think the impact is bigger than a lot of my colleagues think. The negative impact on the entire globe is bigger than a lot of people think. But we also need to be cognizant of what some people now call the majority world, how much revival is taking place in other parts of the world. So you have those two dynamics. You nailed it in your conversation with Chuck Colson. And I think what I'm trying to argue is that in the European situation, Nietzsche rules. And most of the churches over there, they've become the sepulchers of God. And you know, I'm using that in a symbolic fashion. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in the death of God. But in the American context, what I'm trying to say is, you know, it's the most powerful nation in the world, and it still has a very strong, vibrant faith community that can actually exert an influence on the future of Western civilization and on the world, including Europe. How much that influence will be, it's in the hands of God, in the providence of God. But I guess what I'm suggesting is that churches that really become centered in Scripture and can do this type of cultural discernment and teach the next generation what these terms and values mean, and be able to respond appropriately in culture and in media and political action and in voting and social media, they can actually potentially preserve some of the better elements of Western civilization. So I haven't given up on Western civilization. Is a dark age, like Dreher suggested, hovering like Damocles' sword? In some ways it is, and it looks pretty dark when you see what's going on currently. But I'm more optimistic. I mean, when I look over the course of history, Hank, and I see what Christians have faced in the past, and the persecution, and Nero, and infanticide was legal, and pederasty was legal, and the Roman gladiatorial games were legal, and you go up to the early modern period, and you go to Wesley's England, for example, and it was a mess. You know, the country was a mess at that time period. Or you go to England or America and you look at the commercial interests that were driving slavery. Wesley addressed all of those, from the ship captain, you know, to the plantation owner, to the slave traders. Those were incredible interests to challenge in that time period. That's why Wesley had encouraged Wilberforce to go back over and over and over again to Parliament to try to make a difference. I think our God is big enough to make a difference, but it may partially be determined by whether we get on the boat like Jonah, or whether we head to the center of the intellectual and the political marketplaces, the Athens, the Romes of our day, the D.C., the Harvards of our day, and come fully immersed in Scripture and words, and as you put it, sometimes critical theory for some of us, and we can counter and present a better vision for these terms and these concepts like justice and inclusion and a more perfect union. I think O'Donovan has it right. Ultimately, what we really want in terms of the common good is, as his book title says, it is the desire of nations. We really do have the message about a better union. We have the message for a common good. We have the message for more justice, as is possible before Christ returns, than any of the alternatives. And I think there are mountains of evidence that the church has made influence. Every major social reform movement in 19th century America on the eve of the Civil War was led by revivalistic evangelical Christians, including feminism. And I think we give up prematurely, and sometimes it's because we have a flawed future vision or a flawed eschatology. So no, I have not given up on Western civilization. If that's where I was coming from, maybe I would have written a prophecy book predicting the end of the world, made a million books, and retired.
Yeah.
One of the things I really love about your article and about your book is that you don't just leave us in the quagmire, in the semantic crisis, but you give us a proper response to that semantic crisis. And I want you to highlight just a few of these responses, or at least comment on them. One of them that stuck out in my mind was your admonition that we ought to construct a mini lexicon of corrosive post-truth terms. Expand a bit on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we may want some pastoral leadership here to help guide this and frame this and process this. But I think that every Christian can do this. Everybody listening to this podcast can do this. You can sit down and think about the world that you're living in, the context that you're living in. You know, maybe you're in Alabama, maybe you're in Minnesota, but you can listen to what's going on in the media, if nothing else, and write down some of these terms that you're hearing so common in the media and try to write down a definition of what you think people mean by that. What do they mean by, you know, social justice? What do they mean by justice? What do they mean by transgender human rights? What are they trying to get at? Why do they look at us sometimes and say, you know, you Christians, you say you're a Christian, but you're not compassionate? You know, why do some of these individuals, like Lady Gaga, why do they look at Mike Pence, for example, and his wife and say, well, they're clearly not Christians. They can't possibly be Christians. Why is it that Billy Graham and Mother Teresa have been described as frauds and as, dark angels and as individuals that you don't want to have anything to do with? And I think it's because people are operating out of a different semantic universe. And so I think every Christian can do this. It'd be great if pastors could take some leadership. Sit down and write these terms down. What do the cultural spokespersons today mean by these terms? Now let's move back over and talk about what Scripture teaches. You know, multiculturalism is a great one. Justice, oh my word, think about how much Scripture talks about justice. Marriage, we've talked about that. One of the best ones, I think, is this idea of inclusion. You know, doesn't the Bible have something, as I mentioned, better to offer than just inclusion or just tolerance? Don't we have a better vision? And I think when people start to do that, they're going to begin to tap into the spirit of this article and the spirit of this book. And they're also becoming, in some ways, missionaries. They're becoming intercultural students of the context within which they are ministering, and they're going to learn how to be more effective. This can be boomers, this can be millennials, Xers, Nixers, whatever. This will help them better communicate the gospel to other individuals, because a lot of people right now see the gospel as simply tyrannical abuse of power. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do. So if we don't unpack this stuff, then there are plenty of people that would be glad to unpack it for our kids and the next generation and shape the culture for us. So that's just one of a million ways to respond.
Yeah, and what you're really pointing out or underscoring is that we not only have to have the construction of a mini lexicon, but we have to be able to counter or redeem semantic distortions.
Exactly. And, you know, again, think back in church history to when Christians were accused of being unpatriotic, atheistic cannibals that practiced orgies. You know, I mean, that's what the early Christian leaders all the way up through Augustine, you go back to Justin Martyr and Tertullian, that's what all of these individuals, they had to address, because the gospel could hardly get a hearing. I mean, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart and come to a communion service where we eat each other? I don't think so. Now, who knows? With the licentiousness, they might like some of the other definitions of what Christians did when they got together. But we have to pierce that darkness with light, as you so often put it, and show people we really do have a better vision. We really do have a better way. And you know, I don't want to quote Rodney King, you know, this simplistic, can't we all just get along? Because it's not simple. It's very complex. It's detailed. It takes hard work. But we can get along much better with each other if we have norms and if we have understanding and if we have communication. And that's where I move beyond some of the work like consonant pluralism, where we just need some civic virtues where we agree to disagree and we get along. Hank, that will implode. That will explode. That will not work. You cannot just have civic virtues of humility and patience and we all just kind of get along, or strict separation of church and state where we all just get along. That doesn't work. Look where strict separation of church and state is going. That is going to lead to the total suppression of Judeo-Christian faith practices and values. We need a better vision. We need a better way of assessing these issues. We'll be much better evangelists, much better disciples of the nations. We'll have a much better effect in terms of spiritual formation because the people in our church are being malformed by this semantic context. Words are powerful.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. D.K. Matthews. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping believers to exercise truth and experience life. Topics in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal include repentance and prayer in a time of massive urban unrest and COVID-19, the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, winning the fight for religious freedom. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers of our day, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to the Christian Research Institute at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.